It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here from Champy's on Baxter Street. I want to say hello to everybody tuning in on our regular Tuesday at noon session. Thanks so much for checking in with us, and we have a lot to talk about today. We got some coaching changes. We got a bunch of recruiting stuff to go over. So we got Coach Don in here, so he'll be able to help us out with
what was that squawk box?
My computer there. Apparently goes off every time I say Coach Don. It's automated to kind of ping in our headphones here. I want to say we have Jake Roos here with us. Jake Roos will talk about recruiting. My name's Rodney Bulsey. I'll be your host, and I'll basically drink beer the whole time while I ask them questions. It's good to be the king. First and foremost, we got to thank Athens Ford for being our biggest sponsor of the show. I cannot implore you enough to go out and check with Athens Ford. Just check out the new Ford F-150s. Check out their Fusion. Check out all their fantastic cars. You're going to get a fantastic experience while you're out there. They're going to take care of you, and they have great deals. And it's the only place that has the lifetime powertrain warranty on a new or used vehicle. You can't get that anywhere else. Swing by Athens Ford. Check with them. They are going to make you a very happy customer and a customer for life. I guarantee it.
Killer inventory out
yes,
there.
It's unreal, especially if you need like a pre-owned car. You can still, if it's under 80,000 miles, you can still get the lifetime warranty on it. No one else does that, so check with them. Go ahead and give us a like on that Facebook page. You're on the 11 Live Facebook page. If you're watching this live, give them a like. They let us come on their page and basically use their good credibility to put on our show because we don't have any of our own. So big shout out to 11 Alive Sports for letting us do that. Thanks to Champy's for letting us come in here. You notice we have a sausage, cheese, and pickle plate. Now, this isn't just regular sausage. This sausage is phenomenal. I mean, I don't know where he gets it.
It's out of control. He says you can't get it at the store.
I believe him because I've never had anything like that. It is just absolutely great.
It's coming. The kind you get to go down your throat.
It is great. You can swing it here. I think coaches – I'm getting some chicken tenders when we leave. Coaches get some catfish. They got tamales here. This is the best place in Athens to eat, hands down. And trust me.
You got Cold Founders beer.
Well, we're going to get to the Cold Founders beer. And so if you have your pickles, cheese, and sausage plate, a great thing to go along with it is Founders beer. They are a sponsor of the show.
I tried the chicken gizzards back there. These ladies.
I was pounding the chicken gizzards back there.
Hey, I'm serious. They big plate. I couldn't eat them all.
I do like the chicken livers, I'll tell you that.
Chicken livers, too. I didn't mean gizzard livers.
Livers,
my bad.
Founders Brewing. Big sponsor of the show. They take care of us. They give us free beer. It can't get any better than that. I have the Dirty Bastard. You've got the All Day IPA. Trust me, this Dirty Bastard is just a fantastic beer. I mean, it's the best part of the week. I'm just saying. I get paid to drink beer and talk football.
Every time you ever say that, I think about Jimmy Cagney. You dirty bastard.
You dirty bastard.
You dirty rat.
See, every time I think of the Dirty Bastard, I think of an old rapper, Old Dirty Bastard.
Oh, yeah, that one too. But
probably not on your iPod.
Jimmy Cagney, you know, James
Cagney. I love the old black and white movies. I love James Cagney. I was watching a Gary Cooper movie the other day, and I'm like, man, they just don't act like this anymore.
High Noon.
Yes, sir. So,
going my way, get back there, Bing Crosby.
Anyway, we also want to give a shout-out to Cable East over in Statham. Robert Ball, thanks for being a sponsor of the show. And if you need any Georgia gear, if you need your Rose Bowl champion gear, your SEC championship gear, any, you know, you need new Georgia salt and pepper shakers, whatever you need with a Georgia logo on it or to show your Georgia pride, if you need one of these helmets like this, swing by 365 Game Day. They have a bunch of different schools on there, but the guy that runs the Georgia site is a huge Georgia fan. I know him personally, just had a kid. A great person to take care of. And speaking of people who are big Georgia fans, the founders of Your Pie, Drew French.
Well, they're over 50 now?
Oh, yeah, they're over 50 locations. I mean, when I met him, it was for the Arizona State game. He had one. He had just opened that one. Now he's over 50. That hasn't been that long. This is one of the fastest growing franchises. And if you're watching this in a cubicle and you hate your job, call Drew French. Open a franchise. I know Bob Rosato, a guy who had a huge, huge.
You could do it even if you like
company.
Your job, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could. Even if you like your job.
Side deal.
Do it on the side. Bob Rosato, this guy who is one of my mentors when it comes to being a sports journalist, this guy seems set for life. He's not only opened one Europe Eye. He's opening his second. I think he's got eyes on a couple more. So Bob Rosato will have a huge Europe Eye empire before too long. And I'm telling you, folks, if you want to get into it, people that drive through a town and go, I wish I'd opened the McDonald's here or the Subway or the whatever, be the person that opens the Europe Eye in a town and just start printing money, because that's what it'll do for you. Because people are going to love it. I love it. It's the best pizza you can get.
What year were you born?
1972.
Yeah.
What were you doing in 72?
No, I'm just remembering 63 when the first McDonald's opened there in Burlington, North Carolina, and I just thought about it. It's amazing. That was 19 – it could have been 62 maybe, I don't know, but they had a yo-yo contest there, and it was giving away yo-yos. Guy said, hey, whoever won did the best tricks won $50. So I was a McDonald's guy for life after that. But, I mean, so you never know. Hey, Switzer called us in the office one time, asked us if we had $2,000, wanted to know if we want to invest in this new deal in 1985, and it's called voicemail.
Wow.
Really?
Wow. And, of course, none of us did. What the hell? What are you talking about, voicemail?
You know when we get paid.
Voicemail.
And. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying your pie has the potential. I don't know if it's as big as voicemail, but it'll be as big as any franchise.
I really
out there.
Like the service, too. I mean, just get a good feel for it. All these people that we're associated with are, first of all, are Georgia backers. That makes
Absolutely.
It, you know, hey, if you got a choice, go to a Georgia place. So,
yeah. Let's think of Athens Ford. You go out there, there's Georgia stuff everywhere. The manager of the place, you know, Chris, he's a big Georgia guy. That's all they're talking about. I walk in, and it's not, hey, look at our new car. It's like, What do you think is going to happen with the quarterbacks? You know, I mean, these guys are into it. They follow recruiting.
Well, they know you know the answer. But is that where Kirby gets his F-150? Or do you know?
I don't know that he does. I'm not sure.
He's a Ford guy, yeah. For sure.
Well, we're going to need a Ford guy because we need a UGA Sports vehicle. So we're going to be out there picking up.
Hint, hint.
Are you getting one?
Hint.
Yeah. Yeah, we need one. Get a little signage on it and go around. And
absolutely.
We could go around some different towns and meet in some of these places and talk to some Georgia fans.
Sounds like fun to me.
I noticed the Orlando Bulldog Club is getting back together. I spoke to them years ago. They're getting back. Good job, guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, so it's good to see them get back together.
Well, you know the thing about that. They just love to talk about beating those Gators' ass like that.
I mean? Wait, will you beat them almost by 50 points?
Right.
Let's get the club together and have dinner.
It's a good year.
It has been a good year. Speaking of, you had a good year, so, of course, all the other schools come calling for your coaches. You had Mel Tucker was being looked at to hire him away. People were looking at Dell McGee.
Shearer's gone.
Kevin Shearer did take a job. Texas A&M came after James Coley. The news that broke yesterday, was it? I get my days. Yeah, yesterday. Shane Beamer going to Oklahoma. Team Georgia just played in the Rose Bowl. Shane Beamer's going to go out there and be some sort of co-offensive coordinator. He's got some new title out there.
Assistant head coach.
Congratulations to Shane Beamer on that moving up.
I think in this case, from what I've heard from around people that, Shane had an existing relationship with Lincoln Riley. They'd known each other. You hire a 10th coach, you get somebody you know, and that's a good move for him. And it just, from our standpoint, the way I look at it, anytime you lose a coach, you just got to try to, do what you can to. And looking over what my goals would be, if I, just looking from the periphery here, the two people I would get, the first one would be a pilot to make sure he can get our team to the games on the away game, and then a good bus driver for the number that can really get these kids there.
those are the two guys
that I would really focus on because, we're not going to be on cruise control by any means, but, 7 5 stars, are you kidding me? Maybe eight. And I just look at our talent level and where we're going, and I was being facetious there. Don't put that up. But I do feel like that when you're in a position like Kirby's in, with the state behind you and the school behind you, there's going to be a lot of people that he can can look at to make changes to fortify staff. And you knew all along you're going to have to get the 10th guy. But
He's got two decisions to make. He's got to replace Shane Beamer.
And I would say this, knowing Kirby Smart, he's already made that decision. He made that 2 years ago. He had a list. He knows what he wants to do. He's got a master plan. And part of the master plan is always to have somebody in waiting or developing a guy. I thought that was very typical of him, hiring Dan Lanning, a guy that he knew. He knew when he took the job that he wasn't in a position to hire a guy, but he knew down the road he was going to bring him in, because you like guys that have been around you that know your system, that, you know, can fit in pretty well. And I think in the case of Coach Scott, who's really started to really come on strong in recruiting, it was a little different for him because he's the only guy on the defensive staff that really didn't know the how we call the plays, all the different practice schedules, all that. So, you know, everything was second nature to everybody on the staff except him, and he had to adjust to that. Well, Lanning's going to come in here for sure, and he already knows all that. He knows if you call a guy Jack or you call him a Sam or you call him a Star, you know, some people do it otherwise. You know what I mean? So that's just a good head start there. And so I'm very positive about the guys that are leading our team, you know, from a standpoint of motivating them and developing them like Sinclair does and all that. But the bottom line is the head coach, you got to motivate the motivators. You got to motivate the guys that are coaching them. You don't see them quite as much in the individual meetings. But if I've ever seen a guy in charge in all the years I've been coaching, this guy's in charge. He knows what he wants, and he knows how he's going to do it. And
there doesn't seem to be a lot of second guessing of himself with Kirby Smart. The guy knows what his plan is, and I think he hit a good balance, if you will, of established coaches. You get a guy, Jim Chaney, he's been doing it 30 years. You get Sam Pittman, almost universally hailed as one of the best offensive line coaches in the nation.
Well, put that into with Sam, though, they had a good relationship from the standpoint of system being together.
Exactly.
They had a history of together. Keep going there.
Yeah. So you had to get Sam and Jim Chaney together. Those guys have worked together. That all, your offensive coordinator knows what your offensive line coach is going to give him. They're on the same page. But then you bring in some young guys. You give Dale McGee a chance, and that's been phenomenal. Probably the most important coach on your staff right now. You bring in a guy like Glenn Schumann. Nobody really knew who Glenn Schumann was. That was his first hire. The day he came in, Glenn Schumann was on the road recruiting for him.
Been with him 11 years, though.
Yeah, but I'm just saying for the general populace, nobody knew who Dan Lanning was. But here's another guy that Kirby's very confident in, is going to bring him in. Seasoned guy, Mel Tucker, a guy who's been around, seen it all, done it all. In other words, I think you have the rising, hungry guys who are going to recruit like crazy for you. Not to say that your older guys aren't, but then you have the guys who's like, hey, this game plan you came up with, young guy, that sounds great, but I can tell you why it's not going to work, because we tried the same thing against the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, in 85, and this isn't going to work. So, in other words, you have a good balance of experience, youth and hunger, and they come together. And I'm not trying to just give Kirby a pass on all his coaching thing. It's just the results speak for themselves.
Sure.
I'm not
going to
second guess him coaching, because officially we don't. When we put out our grades for a game, we never grade the coaches. And a lot of people are like, well, why don't you grade the coaches? You know, Jim Chaney couldn't run the ball, blah, blah, blah.
Hey,
and
you
I always say it's
grade
because
the coaches,
we don't.
It's pass fail.
Exactly. It's win loss.
I mean, you win, you pass, you fail,
but
you lose.
The reason we don't grade the coaches is because we don't know what the play call was. We don't know what the opposition was. We don't know what went into who's hurt, you know, what went into practice that week. There's too many variables there. But now, if a guy misses his block, that's pretty obvious to tell on the field. And that's why – and our grades are just an opinion. They're not anything to it. But, again, I'm not saying we give the coaches a pass, but in Kirby's situation, his coaching hires have been phenomenal. And I know a lot of Georgia fans were like, why is Shane Beamer leaving after he just signed Luke Ford and John Fitzgerald, two fantastic tight ends? And my thought is, well, A, it's a promotion for him. You want your guys being looked at by other schools. You want to have coaches that everybody else wants, because it means they're good coaches. But I think in this – particular situation, it would have hurt Georgia a lot more if they'd lost Dale McGee, James Coley, guys like that. I'm not saying that, you know, not to take anything away from Shane Beamer, but that if you're going to lose a coach, you know, losing Scherer was tough. Losing Beamer is not as good. I mean, it's not as bad. But I think he has an opportunity now to bring in a top-flight recruiter and maybe another guy. And you're going to need somebody to help with special teams. Shane Beamer did a good job with Georgia's special teams. He needs to replace that. But, in other words, I think that Georgia will be fine.
So let me just ask you, because you guys are the recruiting guru, where 1 through 9, where would you rank Beamer on our recruiting coaches?
9.
Yeah, pretty low down the list, and mostly because that first year he just really didn't have to do much. You came in with the pieces already in place of Isaac Nada and Charlie Warner, so they decided to pass that first year on the tight end recruiting. He was able to focus some efforts elsewhere.
Marcus, what's his name? Marshall Long.
Marshall Long, right? But otherwise, he was just kind of. I just don't think the onus was on him as much.
Well, here's the other thing, though, from the standpoint of coaches, though. The University of Georgia recruits these kids. Sometimes coaches get a little bit too much credit, and they don't give the head coach enough credit, too. I know for a fact how much Kirby put in along with Coach Chaney on Ford. I know. And so you get credit and blame, but I just think Shane's got a good heritage, has been around a lot of football. He wants to be a head coach, and going out to Oklahoma will give him a chance maybe to see what happens. But he's going to find out pretty quick that Lincoln Riley runs the offense, that's for sure. He runs the show out there. And it's going to be a different area of the country recruiting too, because Oklahoma, I found that different when I was there. You know, we came back east a little bit, but, you know, Texas and Texas is where you build your mark there, and also Oklahoma, obviously. But and we went into Kansas City and all that. But, I was reading about a guy from Oklahoma. They said, well, they're going to try to get maybe Sumlin hire Kel Gundy, who is one of the Oklahoma coaches, out to go to Arizona because he can recruit Texas, West Texas. And he can. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of difference in going into a high school in the state of Texas with that OU brand on and Arizona. Is that in the United States? I mean, so where you coaching has a lot to do with how you do recruiting too.
Yeah, and that's you mentioned that last or
guys
2 weeks
come
ago.
In second a lot, second and third, because kids really like them, but they just can't. They don't like them that much that they're going to go to that school. Isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, so I think the school brand, like we say about every fifth week, the G is powerful.
Well, you said it 2 weeks ago. I was going to actually bring that up. Yeah.
For me, when I'm looking at the situation with the turnover with Beamer, in my opinion, I do think you can get an upgrade as a recruiter there.
Yeah.
I really do. What you're going to lose with Shane, obviously, I think is a ton of experience, a ton of opportunity for him to, share a rich football knowledge. I mean, he's been around some great teams, some great players, some great coaches himself, has grown up with one of the greatest being his father. So, that's a lot of experience to lose. But I do think that you can get some guys out on the road, maybe younger, hungrier, ready to prove themselves. And, the tight end position at this school, you say that G is powerful. The tight end position at the University of Georgia largely sells itself. It's not anywhere that they've been bereft of talent in the last ever.
Well, yeah, to bring it to sell that point, I mean, you're pulling Luke Ford out of the middle of the country. That's a big get,
Absolutely.
But look at John Fitzpatrick. I think we showed that Georgia was maybe his 41st offer.
Yeah.
All these other schools have come in before him, and it didn't take long for him to get that offer, make the commitment to Georgia, one of the first guys to send in his letter of intent on the early signing day. This guy who's excited about coming to Georgia. He was excited for Coach Beamer to get a promotion, but to your point, I don't think – and this is not – again, I'm not taking a shot at Shane Beamer. I just don't think that he had to work very hard to get John Fitzpatrick to come here.
I agree.
Now Luke Ford, you had a bunch of coaches trying to bring him in. That's going to be a whole staff will do that. But, get a guy to come across the country. But, getting Jackson Harris out of Tennessee.
Yeah.
That I don't think it was that hard. He really liked it,
Well, that was even before him, though.
No, I'm just saying getting Isaac Nada.
Sure.
The point that, if you're Jed Blazevich comes
right.
across the country, it's not, you can get out-of-state guys. Hey, you want to be tight end at the University of Georgia?
Okay.
From where, Larry Brown, Randy McMichael played, guys like that. Well, yeah, hell yeah. You want to be the next Orson Charles?
Ben Watson's is as important as he's ever been in the face of the league. I mean, you know, that's a
Walter Payton Man of the Year finalist.
What a tremendous representative to have out there. So, yeah, absolutely. It's a prestige position. And, you know, it's – you know, I don't know that people consider it as much of one, obviously, as running back or maybe the linebacker position. But, you know, it does. It sells itself. I really do believe that. I like you said, John Fitzpatrick, he got the word. He was on board. Luke Ford, he got it. He was very interested from the jump and said, hey, you know, during this early signing period, I'm going. So, yeah.
What does this mean for Georgia?
I think one thing, though, that is lost in the shuffle a little bit, it's not mentioned enough. Beside Kirby Smart being the head coach, is Justin Fields. Yeah. And when you look at the relationship that I've read on your great website that Fields has with Ford, you know, being in these camps, going around and knowing each other, if I'm a receiver, I'm going to look at who's going to be throwing the ball to me and who's going to get it and who's going to be running the show. That's what you need to look at. I mean, we as offensive coach, one of the things I always tried to promote to our people, you know, hey, it was a lot easier for OU to get Keith Jackson to come there as a tight end knowing Troy Aikman was going to be a quarterback.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because before that, Switzer, all he done run the wishbone, and I wasn't there when they recruited Troy, but the next year. But the idea was, hey, we're going to switch over. We got to beat Nebraska. We're going to do – and I'm just breaking that down a little bit for everybody, saying, you know, how much we're going to be dual threat, I don't know, but – you look around the country, you look at this kid last year for Oklahoma, the number one, Andrews, number one guy in the country with a dual threat guy like they had in Mayfield, how many times they got him the football, spreading him out. We can do the same thing with Nauta. We can do it with – and Fromm can do some of that too, but it's just the case of who's going to be back there at Q with you, man. That's big.
Hal Love here with a very interesting comment question. He says, is Georgia committed to keeping assistants on the staff when programs come and try to take them for lateral moves? I think the answer
hell
there is
yeah. Come on, man. I'm going to say a cuss word on that.
James Coley had an opportunity to become an offensive coordinator.
Hey, seriously. I mean, the guy was offered over $1 million. I don't know if he – what they're going to do for him here, but they're going to take care of him. But you talk about commitment to coaches and all.
Yeah.
This is just in the case of Shear, he got a chance to be a defensive coordinator. In the case of Beamer, he got a chance to have a title there, and he basically was the lowest paid guy on our staff, right?
Yeah, one of, yeah.
But not that he's paid low, but I'm just saying he's probably got a good jump going out there too, and so it'd be hard in all honesty, for Coach Smart to jump a guy over Dale McGee or all these other
Absolutely
guys
right
here. So, you know, more power to Shane. But at the same time, I guarantee you McGarrity, I mean, people can get on him all you want to about what's happened in the past. But if he's on – you know, if you've seen that Geico commercial when the guy's – when George Washington's going across the Delaware –
yeah, exactly.
Going across the turnpike
right
on that small deal, that small boat, and they're taking – everybody at the University of Georgia is on that boat. They are going across that turnpike, and they don't care how long it's going to take, but they're going to back this guy to the hilt.
Yeah.
I'm serious, man. I mean, I this wears me out. He's got a good question there, really. In the past, maybe I could say that. But,
sure.
But when I was here under Coach Dooley, and I think under Coach Rick, I don't think we've ever lost a coach because we didn't have enough money to pay him. It was just because the guy moved. And I don't think it's ever happened at Georgia.
Sure. And you know,
some people would point to Mike Bobo and say it happened there.
Well, it did, but Mike wasn't in a position where he was offered a job, you know, never was threatened to leave. But I thought Mike was very underpaid. There's no question about that. Yeah. And, you know, kind of a slap in his face to bring Schottenheimer in here and you know, almost double the salary for the coordinator. But that was not right. That's for sure. But
but at the same time, he also went from being an offensive coordinator to a head coach,
right,
you know. And Georgia only had one head coach. Can't offer him that position. So,
well, the year before he could have gone to Georgia Southern as head coach, but he stayed here another year. So, I mean,
and he should have been rewarded for that. But to your point, I have it on good authority. I wasn't in the conversation, but I have it from somebody I know who I trust that your athletic director, Greg McGarrity, says that His number one job is to make his boss, Jerry Moorhead, happy. That makes sense. You take care of your boss.
Of course.
But his job responsibility is to take care of Kirby Smart. So I'm not saying that came from Jerry Moorhead, but the way it's structured right now is I got to take care of my boss, Jerry Moorhead. Jerry Moorhead's decision, his admonition to me is take care of Kirby Smart, get him what he wants. And we have not seen a situation where George has asked for something and has not got it.
No, but Kirby's
they're on a helicopter today.
Hey, but Kirby's not in a situation where he's just out there throwing money out of the helicopter. He knows how to manage things, and he knows what he wants and how to use it. And the difference for us that's such a rude awakening is how far backward we were as far as support staff. Not that we were backward. That's wrong. How far behind we were other schools and what we allotted for these people. So it looks like we got a lot more people than we used to, but really ours is just pretty much similar to what the teams we're not necessarily Alabama footprint, but at the same time, if you want to beat Alabama, which we came close to doing, look at all the things we've done that they do, and we've amplified some of that. But
then you meet them in the championship game.
You've got to do what the market's doing, you know?
Meanwhile, we're hearing those same stories already starting to come out of Tennessee that, you know, the push from Phil Fulmer
told me that himself. He said, you got a guy in there that came from Cincinnati and people had been at Tennessee, you know, so they don't know what all these other people are doing. But now all of a sudden you got Pruitt in there who I'll give him credit too. He laid some groundwork, laid some pipe here. When he came in here for Kirby, as far as some of the changes were made in nutrition and as far as, you know, practices and stuff like that. But
well, not only that, I mean, to the infrastructure spending for Georgia, like you said, each coach now has a recruiting assistant. Kirby Smart requires his coaches to contact 3 recruits a day. You got to have somebody to help you keep up with that while you're doing the job of, you know, doing your job of coaching players. So all of a sudden the recruiting staff went from, I remember them having 2 guys in the recruiting office, and one was part time. Now you got a staff.
They used to let Paul Meharry help out. Yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ!
Oh, shots fired, Paul! Shots fired. But you had a situation where I remember seeing the 2 guys who were Georgia's recruiting department. I'm like, hey guys, you know, we'd see them at a camp or something. Now there's 50 of them.
Right.
I'm exaggerating, but there's a lot of them, and it helped with Georgia recruiting. But at the same time, I remember when let's go back a year, maybe a year from now, that final week before signing day last year when Georgia pulls in the number 3 class in the nation, we're tracking planes. That's with an S. We're not tracking the Georgia plane. The Georgia planes. There were numerous of them. There were 4. We had guys in Texas. You know, we had coaches in Miami. We had coaches in, you know, then going back to Orlando. We had guys going up north, you know, to go see with Swift and Webb and guys like that. That did not happen in the Richt era.
Really?
No, yeah.
Hey, I don't know that did or not, but I know this. We do need a plane. We need a jet. Hey, you want to talk about what we need? Everybody in the conference got one except maybe one school and us, but it'd be nice to have one where you don't have to rent it, but –
yeah, they would take charter flights and stuff like that. They would go see these kids. But, I mean, to actually have these people letting you borrow a plane, going to these donors that have them and saying, hey, the week right before signing day, can we borrow your plane? And these donors are like, yeah, here's the keys. Here's a pilot. Here's the gas. Go do it. You know, and they get a
– most of them send you a bill for the gas.
That's what I say. The bass comes. Yeah. And so you do
– but I don't blame them for that.
No, they shouldn't. And
but in the history of all the time I've been here, Ray Goff or anybody else, I've never heard of one time where Georgia needed something for recruiting and the money wasn't there. You know, I just think whatever
it
takes.
A lot more there now. And I think the things they need is one of these Kirby copters. We saw him yesterday and today.
But realistically, though, why would you buy one of those when you can't use it but maybe – 20 times a year.
I would park it right in front of the Athletic Association with giant Georgia logos all over it.
And what would be the reward for it? Just that you got one? Nice. That you have one?
It's pretty, yeah.
Hey, we can get it.
Bring those kids when the kids come on recruiting visits, take them up for a ride around campus.
Yeah, there you go.
See how many were scared to fly.
I think it's easy to rent one myself. But I guarantee you, have you been in a helicopter before?
I have.
They're,
I did not like it.
It's frightening. I don't like to fly on a commercial plane.
I had to do a commercial for Caterpillar up in West Virginia, and we had to fly back into this deserted area and talk about that they were what they were doing to take care of the area and all that stuff. And this guy used to be in Vietnamese pilot, and he said, I'm going to show you how we used to go down on some of those dive bomb things going in there. And I said, hey, man, I don't need that.
That's okay. That's fine. I believe you.
And a big shout-out to Kirby Smart, because I've been told that he doesn't care to ride in the helicopter either, but he's doing it for recruiting. And at least they got him a better one. The last one we saw looked to have a little more stability.
But I don't know many people.
Well, one person got mad at him last year because the one was yellow. Who cares? Well, people find something wrong with anything. Yeah. But what kind of questions we got here? We got one.
Another from Hal Love here.
He's all over.
Yeah, Hal's killing it today. He says, Coach, how do you see the center spot for Georgia going into next season? I'm not taking anything away from Galliard, but I think he needs to improve to hold on to that spot.
Well, he's going to improve, and just naturally, just because of evolution of playing the position, of making the calls at the line. He's got big hands. He handles the ball well. We didn't get many bad snaps. And just his knowledge of assignment and proper technique is going to be better. But I think Coach Pittman's going to move some people around and look at, an athletic guy there to, push him. I don't know who that might be, but we're going to have competition in offensive line that's going to be stronger than Ajax.
Unparalleled.
It's going
to
be really good, and it's going to be be very, very good for the defense too, because, it's one thing for the number one defense to go out there and play against number two offense and look pretty good. Sometimes when 2-0, it's not that great, but our 1D line is going to be really challenged by the 2-0 line when they go. And I know a lot of times in the spring, Kirby will go 1-1, 2-1, too, but very competitive, and it's a good question. Center is one of the most difficult things to coach of anything that I had to, because, you just take it for granted that, you get the snap and all that. Just see how hard it is just to block a guy on your head, but at the same time with your head down, or
Absolutely.
Just very difficult. And shout out to number 60 for UGA playing there for the Pats. That's really awesome that he's doing so well.
We see you, David Andrews.
We're proud of that, and wish Malcolm could play. But, I guess once you get on the injured reserve, it's hard to come back out. But
I hope Malcolm still gets a ring.
Oh, he'll get everything. He'll get all that. But again, it's just like one of the hardest things to teach is a quarterback-center exchange, because the quarterback's got to get his hands in there, and you got to ride it, and you got to see where the ball's placed and all that. But it's a lot easier to snap the ball in the gun, and some teams now are using that different type of snap instead of just a snap back where you come like this, and it's just a natural, spiral. Now they're putting a nose down and flipping it with, like you would shoot a free throw, which for the average fan, you might not see that, but I think it's one of the best ways to snap it with security now, because you don't have to be near as accurate by just flipping it like this as compared to bringing it back like it.
Sure.
Did you know people are doing that?
I didn't, but
I did.
That's one of the reasons you watch the show. But Ronnie was telling people about that the other night. He was over there having a founder's beer, and he was telling people, hey, back in my day, I used to snap it like that, but now I do it.
No, it's funny you say that. I tried to teach my son for the Athens Christian Middle School team, who went undefeated, and as did his fellow football players. Shout out to Athens Christian Middle School. They went undefeated in the basketball this year. Won the middle school tournaments. They beat
– They didn't let Richard Gibbonor play, did they?
They did not.
Reclassify him?
But they have a young guy over there named John S. and then Truck, and then, of course, some of the other kids.
Truck.
Yeah, y'all
you don't want to go to the post with Truck.
Yeah, y'all come and check out Truck. Truck's going to be a monster. These guys, they won. And for Ollie's football team, he had to play center. And – I've been able to coach offensive line. I've coached defensive backs. Trying to teach a kid, my own son, to snap correctly. Damn, that was hard.
Not bad.
It's funny. I was calling
just
it.
Go YouTube, I was calling it'll show you.
Ben Jones, David Andrews,
Cablano.
And finally, Cablano's like, "Hey, I'll teach him." And Cablano actually went to YouTube and found that. Hold the nose of the ball, that little flip thing, because he says he was having a hard time understanding.
I remember when he did that.
Yeah, you had paid coaches who were trying to teach it to him, and he's like, the YouTube video helped. So to your point,
same way. If you got some plumbing problems, YouTube.
Yeah, real life experience. I tried teaching a kid to snap and was horrible at it, and went to YouTube. A Georgia offensive line coach trying to teach Brandon Cablano how to do it. It's getting lost in translation. He goes and has to learn it on his own. It is complicated. Yes, you know the snap count, and you get to move the ball before anybody else. But when you come back up, you are not exactly in prime position to block anybody. And sometimes you put a guy in that zero technique or that one, and he just comes right at you. And if you do not have a good center, to Hal's point, you are going to have a hard time. And when Georgia's
– if you got a center there that you're recruiting, and, you know, you go out there and say – son, I'm pretending you're a center. Roddy, can you snatch a one technique?
No, I cannot.
By that, I mean the guy's in the gap there to your outside shoulder. Can you snap the ball and snatch it and get over there and secure that area?
Yeah.
If he says, coach, what's a one technique or what snatch, I'm going to say, hey,
Good to meet you, son.
Sayonara.
Come to camp. We'll give you a T-shirt.
And you always like it when the guy says, hey, coach, I can snatch a two technique.
All right, we got a couple questions rolling in here. Maurice Carter, we touched on this one a little
bit.
I'm interested to hear what you got on this one, coach. He wants to know, which recruit in 2018's class do you think makes the immediate impact in 2018?
Justin Fields.
You think, regardless of the Fromm situation, him standing there?
No, I mean, he'll just make an impact because of the competition he brings. Just like Fromm made an impact last year, the competition he made Eason better. I just think what he entails as far as, you know, what he can do on the field, as far as offensive, what we can do differently. I'm not saying he's going to start. I'm not going to say anything. I just think that was a question, and that's the way I answered. Now, there's going to be some others that make impact, too. When you got 7 5 stars, I mean, you can just go down. Every one of them got a shot because of different areas. But I like Justin just because leadership, all the same things that Fromm brought here last year, he brings the same thing, and that's good.
And he moves better.
You're gonna have two Fromms.
Yep.
That's not a bad situation. And before you get to the next question, hang on to it. I do want to address the fact that the final Rivals 100 and 250 have come out today. Just go to rivals.com, click on the top 100. The final rankings are out. These will be the rankings forever for this class. Georgia has done something unprecedented, not only at Georgia, but almost in the history of the SEC. So far, they have signed, they don't have commitments of, but they have signed 7 5-star players. The most Georgia had ever signed in 1 year was 3, and that was Kirby's first year. You know, and granted, you know, give Mark Richt a lot of credit for that, but I think it was Isaac Nauta.
Eason.
Eason. Was it running back or Cleveland?
Cleveland went.
No, Cleveland had fallen to 4 at that point. I don't know. I'll have to look back on
it. But they had to sign 3 5 stars in that class. And then now all of a sudden you have a situation where you signed 7. Now that ties Alabama.
Mecole Hardman.
Mecole, there you go. You had 6 of the top 33 players in the nation. You had 3 of the top 3. I mean, 4.
3 of the top 5.
Three
of the top 10.
Excuse me, 3 of the top 10. Yeah, 3 of the top 10. 4 of the top 12. I mean, it was just ridiculous how many of the top players in the nation you got. And you still have the opportunity to get one more. If you go to UGASports.com, now this is a premium article. We have the hot board. This is where we say, look, we got 5 spots left. Here's who we think Georgia's going to fill those spots with, and here are Georgia's chances per our insider notes, our discussions, quotes from the kid, what they've told us. And Jake put out a fantastic hot board.
If I was the coach, I'd be mad.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're probably not happy with
that. I'm serious. I mean, you guys get to them easier sometimes than the coach.
Oh, I know that.
And so, you know, right off the bat, the first guy on that list is Tyson Campbell, who jumped from a 4-star to a 5-star. Like Georgia's chances with Tyson
Campbell. Who rates those guys? Who makes that final decision?
Largely, it comes down to our national analysts. So we have analysts kind of all across the country that get a chance to watch these kids in the various all-star settings, but also, you know, they're guys who are close to them, their area. That weighs in pretty heavily as well.
Charles could rate every one of those 5-star. Yeah,
exactly. Well, you have, I think you have about 11 guys who – they go to all the Rivals camps. We're the only one that hosts our own camp. So we have
that's impressive,
and it's free.
It's free.
It is.
You know, it is. We have a combine
free
on Saturday.
To have beer.
We have the combine on Saturday. Listen, that you can come to. People can pay when they. It's like I think $20-$30, and any kid can come to that. But then we actually have the camp the following day in these towns, and those are invitation only. Those are free. The kids get Adidas gear. And they get to go up against the best players in the nation. And our analysts are there. They're watching them there. Then they watch, you know, mountains of tape. Just they live their lives on huddle watching these kids, you know,
good.
Sophomore tape, junior tape, senior tape. Then we see them in the All-Star games. You know, we see them at different camps, not only at Rivals camps. We see them at other camps as well. So each few months, you're getting more and more information about a kid, and that's why our rankings change. They move up and down in the rankings. And what came out yesterday was the final 100. Today was the final 250. That's where these guys are going to be ranked, you know, for the
perpetuity.
In perpetuity. And
it's good. What Georgia, we got all these guys. So.
7 5-stars is huge for Georgia. And when you look at the guys that could make a difference.
I think the Big 12 conference doesn't even have maybe one for the whole conference, right?
Well, here's the thing. There's only one other 5-star committed to an SEC team. And that's Alabama. Alabama has one. Georgia has 7. The rest of the SEC is
And something there that I think is really saying about coaching that Nick has done that I feel like needs to be brought up, that very similar to what Kirby. You know, he's bringing in two guys on his defensive staff that have never coached in the SEC. You know.
True.
But Nick is a great evaluator, coaches just like he is players just like Kirby is, and I feel very confident that he wouldn't be bringing these two guys in unless they've been on the board. I'm gonna tell you what, now you want to get an interview for a job, you come in here and let Kirby put you on the board and see what you do. I mean, that's the way I used to do it. Hey, if a guy can't handle that kind of pressure, how in the heck's he going to work during the game,
sure.
You know? So I put him on the board and say, hey, what do you do against this? What do you do against that? And
How do you mean put him on the board?
Well, you know, you got these whiteboards up there, and you say, okay, tell me your techniques on cover two. What are you teaching the corners? What do you do against an inside release on this? What do you do? Do you ever JoJo this guy? What do you ever do? Do you ever play Sky on the weak side on it? Whatever. Just 9 million questions real quick, and if he flinches any, you got to think. And then you say, hey, I'm going to go through here now. I'm going to put this kid in here, and we're going to go through a home visit. Let me just see. I want to see how you're going to recruit this kid. And you sit down and go over it and talk about – this guy goes in and see how he talks to him. And sometimes you bring in a coach's wife and have him act like it's the mom and see what you're doing with that. And then same thing, okay, we're going to go to a high school and you're going in and meet the principal and the academic counselor. I want to see how you interact with them, you know, because all these things, you're representing us, you know. And we used to have training periods on that where we would actually spend a couple of days. One day would be just going into school. You know, one of the things I always like to do, let's say I'm recruiting you, and every coach that comes in there is probably going to see you and then go in the coach's office and talk. Well, you've got 5 or 6 coaches coming in there. How do you remember which coach did what? I used to say, hey, look, let's go over here. I'd take him to a different part of the school. This is when I was assistant coach. Go over and ask him who his best friends were in the teaching profession. Go meet that teacher. Try to get in with that teacher a little bit. Do all these things that instead of just talking about your school, talk about him more, you know.
Yeah.
And it really breaks the ice early, and I think that's a good way to do it. Same way when you bring a kid to campus, you want to make sure that he feels like he's the only one here. You got 11 visiting, but you don't want to have every time you do something, all 11 of you are together. Hey, try to separate that. Keep them going. That's a little trade secrets there.
I was going to say, we're going to have to start charging for this.
You're mad at
Jim Donnan recruiting clinic.
And he's talking about our hot board. He's giving away all the secrets right here.
But
Kirby's going to cut you off.
No, Kirby Kirby does that. But I'm just saying, if you're going to hire guys, you got to know how they do with that stuff. I mean, I was just getting back to Nick, bringing in two guys like that, and then moving Loxley up as the coordinator. I think he lost two really high-profile guys. I mean, Daboll goes to takes a job, and then so does Pruitt. So I think he needed to move somebody within to a to a real demonstrative leadership role for the players that are there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's hard to have leadership unless you have servant leadership. You know what I mean? You got to have people that want to follow you. And I think in Loxley's case, a lot of those kids he recruited, and they feel like he deserves that shot, and Nick's giving it to him.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Let's hit some of these questions real quick.
All right, just a couple of quick fires here. Michael Trotter says, do you think Holloman gets into the wide receiver rotation this year?
Absolutely. I think the big deal with Holloman is he's got to learn his assignments and make that adjustment. You know, we're very multiple where we line people up. You know, you could be a slot, you can be a wide guy, you can be a outside guy away from the 3-by-1, whatever it might be. The more chances you can play multiple positions, the better chance you got to be on the field. But he's explosive. He can catch the ball in the crowd. He's got very good hand eye, and he's very competitive. We lost Webb to defense. When I say we, offensively, Webb's such a good player. But I think he'll make a big move there on defense. But Holloman, to me, and the big tall kid,
Landers,
are going to be really good. And I think the way Miko played down the stretch has really got to be encouraging. You know, we're going to miss Mims, but I really like the way Miko's playing now, and that's just got to help the whole situation.
No,
there.
That's not going to happen because he's going to be an outside linebacker.
You talking about Miko Hardman?
No.
You asked who makes our prediction or who makes our analysis, you know, in our rankings. One of our rankings guys at one point said that Holloman would make a good outside linebacker.
Hey, Cam Newton be a good tight end.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, and I bring this up when people I bring this up when people ask about, you know, why didn't so and so play more? I always why didn't Georgia run the ball more in the second half or whatever? I'm like, do you know what defense they were facing? Because if you don't know what defense is, don't ask a question. And I always
say we play more people than anybody in history of football. We've got many guys playing so many different roles, and I think that's good for your morale.
It is. You know, those guys
get in
there.
A lot of guys playing, but we don't need to critique that game.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about when you say a guy like Holloman or, you know, why didn't so-and-so play more? I always want to ask, who would you have pulled out? You know, who would you have started him over? And right
don't
now,
you think, in being completely objective, grade-wise, and I think one of the most quantum leaps we had this year was the ability to throw the ball on first down and make yardage instead of getting behind the sticks like we did last year. Protection, throwing, catching, everything about the passing game made huge strides this year, and it really was indicative of the protection, first of all, and then the accuracy of Fromm. But overall, our receivers did a heck – I mean,
they caught.
I mean, look at some of these catches these guys made. So
insane catches.
We just really biggest room in the world, room for improvement. That's what we made in the receivers.
Exactly. And I'm not saying anything against Holloman, but right now your wide receivers that you had on the field, be it Terry Godwin, Wims, Miko Hardman, those guys were fantastic. And so it was tough for a guy like Holloman to get in the rotation. Now all of a sudden Wims is out. You need a replacement for that big body. To answer your question, Holloman jumps right in, and I love his skill sets. I think that is a guy
who
fills it really well.
The same situation as Ben Cleveland.
Yep.
Everybody asking, what's wrong with Ben? What's the deal? Hey, he just wasn't ready, and the competition was ahead of him, but he made the move early on in his second year. Same thing with Holloman. If everybody would just reflect back to going, if you played sports, if you're in the ninth grade in high school, how many of you ever played on the varsity in any sport? Very, very difficult to do that. I mean, I don't care if you're one of the best athletes in the world. So the same thing's true in making that jump from high school to college football to play as a freshman. Most of the freshmen that play is because there's nobody else there.
Sure.
That's my point.
So I think in Holloman's situation, but the one thing that I like about him, watching him in practice, he's competitive in one-on-one. He's very physical. He'll help us out, but – The other thing, I'm spilling my guts out here, but the other thing is I just feel like that our coaching staff, part of their recruiting ploy is, hey, you come to Georgia, we're going to give you a shot as a freshman. That doesn't mean you're going to play.
Good point.
But here's the facts. Look, talk to these kids. You think when a guy comes to our campus, you don't think these kids are fired up about telling them the way they're treated?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, we're going to have a champion's dinner tonight. They're bringing all these kids over here. about 8 or 9 pieces of chicken from Champy's. And, hey, that would make me come.
And it's true.
Isn't that right? Hey, Josh.
They are tonight.
We got tonight's feeding the whole team, right? I guarantee you, Kirby Smart wouldn't let some Willie off the pickle boat bring him over there to feed the food. Really. I mean, they got Champies coming over feeding the whole team. That's a lot of people, isn't it?
Willie off the pickle boat.
Yeah. Seriously. So, but my point, again, is Kirby really does a terrific job of – using our own players as spokesmen, using our own families as spoke. You see these families at the game, the way they all get together. I mean,
incredibly active on social media as
well. Oh, they are.
Yeah. Heilman's mom, very active on social media. Jake Fromm's mom, very active.
I don't like that.
I mean, but I'm saying
I think some of this stuff should be secretive myself.
Sure.
Well, they're not telling the game plan. They're just saying, come to Georgia and play with my son.
Well, I like that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Is it Anita Holloman?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Boy, she's a lovely lady.
She is. Yeah. She's wonderful. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Matt Landers, too. A lot gets made of Holloman. I love Holloman. I think if you go back and read my scouting reports on him, I was
– fanboy.
I gushed over him. but I think Landers was really one of the hidden gems of that class last year. Very big player, a lot of athleticism, a guy who can I mean, he's gigantic, too. Yeah, he's probably got two inches on Jeremiah.
Well, no,
Jeremiah
is a big kid. He comes from an athletic family, you know, so he's going to have he's gonna do some big things. And I look forward to seeing guys – you know, Georgia really needs to replace the secondary. I can't wait to see what guys like Speed can do in a more active role. Can't see what Richard LeCount is going to be fun to watch. They're going to make some mistakes. Heck, I go back to Jalen Ramsey starting as a freshman. That guy made mistakes all over the
place.
But then you see him playing for the Jags, and you're like, holy crap. He gets bored out there because they never throw it his way. So, but I do like that. I always like to point out it is tough to play as a freshman because it's just like being a ninth grader. I wish if more people thought, you know, freshman equals ninth grader, then they'd stop worrying about it. Not to say that the person asked the question was worried about
it. If you're playing a lot of freshmen, you're not playing for the national championship.
Yeah. I agree.
Let's see. Maurice Carter.
We had 31 senior dress out the last game.
Yeah. Maurice Carter says, I just want to ask a hypothetical question. If Coach Smart has Justin Fields on the bench, does he start him in the second half if he has to, like Saban did Tua?
Tua.
Exactly.
Of course he does.
Yeah, why not?
Here's the thing, and we got a lot of questions about Justin Fields playing.
But all of that's based on one thing. What was his name? The guy that said?
Michael.
Michael.
Maurice.
That was based on one thing, the way they practiced. Yeah. He felt very confident. They wouldn't – if he hadn't been doing well in practice, and if anybody that listens to our show or watches it, a couple of weeks ago, we said that Kirk Herbstreit told us about the fact that that kid had gotten more reps in practice because they had all that buildup before they played the game against Clemson. They had all that practice time, and so they let him work with the one some. You know, you don't usually have that during the season because you only got so long to get ready for a game, so short a time. But I think Kirby has proven time after time to make changes. You know, he's always talking about in these press conferences, hey, we're going to – you know, we're constantly looking at our lineup. We're changing. We're moving guys in and out and making. So, but I don't necessarily say it would be because of Fields over Fromm or anything else. But you got to be able to make change.
Yeah, I don't see Kirby thinking about, if I pull this kid, it's going to hurt his confidence. We've heard that about quarterbacks. It's funny. You'll pull anybody on the team when they're struggling, except the quarterbacks, because the idea is you're going to break the confidence. I don't think quarterbacks are that fragile.
Yeah, you got to be careful about jerking them around, though. That's for sure.
Yeah. I don't think if Fromm was having a bad day, he'd probably say, "Coach, can you put in the other guy? I want to win this game." You know, so I don't see that happening.
Christopher Smith here says, "Who do you think are the hidden
gems of
this
class?" Why
are you laughing,
Christopher?
Class?
Is he a friend of yours?
No, because I'm thinking my answer.
I think there may be a connection going on.
So Christopher Smith asks, "Who do you think could be the hidden gem of this class?" And I think Christopher Smith, signed with Georgia, the cornerback, could very well be the hidden gem in this class because hardly anybody talks about him. And he's not huge.
He's a good player.
But that kid is relentless.
Yeah, he is.
I worry about him being overly aggressive, you know, but that can be dialed in.
Exactly.
Get a couple defensive passes.
You're better off to start that way.
Exactly. I'd rather dial it back up than I go back to Brendan Langley, who you could not quite get to be aggressive enough, you know. And then they moved him to wide receiver and back and forth. And congrats on Brendan for getting to the NFL. But it was I like an aggressive guy like that. You know who he reminds me of? Malcolm Parrish.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I got better size.
I got this quote. Just as you know, we got to keep everybody. But I really believe this, and I wrote it down. If you don't change your mind, then nothing ever really changes.
I like it.
Hey, you got to be willing to change.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to adjust.
You
got to
be wearing the glasses like I got.
I mean, I can't read the small print. I'll tell you what, I did go in for my eye exam yesterday, and it's just amazing. I had some minor surgery over at Emory, but I'm going to give a shout-out to Brent Crimes, great Georgia tennis player, great doctor here in town. They did a remarkable job on my eye and then sent me over to Emory to do a little bit. I'm telling you, when you get in the fourth quarter, you got to get some – you got to change a little bit. So my vision, man, I can pick out a player on the field now.
Is there anybody?
I can see his number.
Is there anybody that stands out to you, coach, as a potential hidden gem guy that doesn't get talked about as much, guy that maybe fans aren't talking about as much? I'll give you a second.
There's not a lot of hidden gems.
No, I agree. Mean, all these guys get so
scrutinized. You talking about the 2018 class itself?
For Georgia's class, yeah. I the guy who jumps off the page to me that people don't talk about as much, and I think will find himself in the rotation quickly, is Devontae Wyatt. I know that he's a four-star.
Sure.
That's not a hard pick, but he's a guy that just doesn't get.
Oh, when we lose Trent, we got this guy coming in.
Exactly.
But to me, I think everybody talks about Sayer. I mean, dominant player. You know, we got the kid from Knoxville coming in, but Hill just looks so good. I mean, he might just come in and not talk. I mean, he's a four star, right? Instead of
sure.
a five, but they're all five stars. Those linemen, as far as I'm concerned, the way they look. But
speaking of,
but I like Cook to come in here and just kind of be little in and out guy, a lot like Swift was. You know, I hope White can get over this thing. I like the kid from pronounce his name. The one hurt his knee.
Ojulari.
Ojulari. I mean, and you know what's good about Ojulari and the kid from Knoxville? They both got brothers.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yep. Right?
Yeah, they do. They both do.
I mean, by that I mean brothers that can play.
Yeah. Yep. Cooper and BJ.
So,
respectively.
I like those brother, you know, as in Stinchcombs, Bailey.
Bailey's,
Edwards.
I was about to say, if anybody knows about having the brothers who can come in and contribute right off the bat, you would know it. I like this question here by Phil Rogers. Do you see any shutdown corners in any of those defensive backs?
For this
hey,
class.
I like speed. I mean, practice. I like speed and Webb on the guys we got. Bishop's going to come along, that's for sure. You know, we were able to train these guys. You know, they got a lot of work, but they didn't get to play much. But they got a lot of good coaching. I'm going to tell you what, you're getting superior. You're talking about five-star coaching from Mel Tucker and Kirby Smart. I'm talking about technique out the yin-yang, man. They just tech – unbelievable technique out there. I mean, if I'm a – I'm 40 – I don't know how long I've been coaching, but I just watch these guys talk about releases and, hey, if this guy does this, this is what he's going to do. We pattern read stuff, you know. I mean, hey, and Bill Parcells used to say this. He said, why defend something that they don't do? What if? Hey, well, if they do it, we'll start worrying about it, you know.
Sure.
And our guys really scout the heck out of people. I mean, they know what they're doing, and they coach them up. And I'm just not on the Kirby Smart bandwagon. I'm just trying to add to the fans here about if a guy gets here and he's got any kind of ability to be ranked that high, he's going to be ranked a lot higher when he leaves here because he's going to get developed and coached. And I've been around some guys that I didn't do a very good job with that I wish I'd have coached them a little different. But at the same time, here's another thing for you little league coaches. Are you junior high coaches? Are you high school coaches? Coach them all. You know what I mean? You got a first team guy, you got a third team guy. Coach them all because you never know when that guy's going to need
sure.
to know what to do. So instead of having a long line and doing all these drills and the guy's got to wait 2 days and 14 nights for his chances so you can talk to everybody about what to do, let them get in four or five different groups, not get quite as much coaching, but get reps. Practice doing the stuff that you know. And
absolutely.
That's what our guys get 9 million reps out of practice.
I will say that when Jeremy Pruitt got here, and they split into that mirror effect. You know, it wasn't
two spot
the two spot where you have two different groups going on doing the same thing with the coaches there and the assistants, you know, all of a sudden everyone started getting reps. And if you add the amount of reps they got to the conditioning that they went through, that's when all of a sudden these guys started looking different.
Right.
Now, granted, you went up, but those guys –
well, I mean,
when
it's not second-guessing. It's just the way it's evolved. You know, it used to be just you didn't do quite as much of that, but
– we look good.
And no detail is too small.
No.
We got more film on a guy out there. I really think that they tape them tying their shoes.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
I mean, they got guys walking around with these things here looking from behind, and you got those great videos from the – up there, and I don't know how they look at all of it, but I'm sure they do. But I mean, that's we used to have what we called a there's another little thing here, I'm talking off the cuff, but we used to have a camera we would call you know, just a, I'm not gonna give a name for it's a bad name, but you would watch, but it basically, instead of watching the offense or defense, you just focused in on one guy, one play or another guy, and if you were loafing on that play, your ass was grass, man. You didn't want to be loafing and that guy pick you out in that camera. So, you know, it's just a sporadic deal all around practice. And you're going, well, now Kirby's got these monitors on them, you know, where they keep up with how much they run, how much they do. What do you call those?
The little GPS monitors, yeah.
That's good. You got the slang, man.
I'm just saying. Well, Kirby brought it up one day when he was talking about, I think, Lorenzo Carter or somebody like that who had been was a little gimpy or something like that. He says, yeah, we have him running 1,700 yards of practice, but we don't have him back up to the 2 to 2,200 that he normally does. I'm like,
well, that's
you
all
measure
based
the number of feet a guy runs in practice.
That's all based on his productivity, and it's also on the recovery from the week before and practice time and all that. And it's just
but the science
time
behind
motion.
It's just crazy. It's
time and motion about, you know, how does the guy perform under stress and all, and you just get them in there. But let's get a couple rapid-fire questions.
Yeah. Right,
this is Jeopardy.
A couple last ones here. Let's see. It says
let's go with Phil Rogers. Do you change anything on defense next season?
Phil Rogers, he the guy who used to help Nicklaus with his chipping? Can you imagine Jack Nicklaus going up to Phil Rogers and say, hey, I need you to help me with my chipping.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
He says, do we change anything up on defense for next season?
You know, I think we saw this year a lot more packages because everybody knew what to do. Our pressure packages improved immensely this year. You look at the Auburn game and the championship game. You look at the OU game in the second half. Our pressure package, I think we'll see some variances of that, but nothing to the point where you'll see a different front or anything like that. But I think maybe a few more coverages. But overall, you're constantly analyzing, and we're going to have to replace some – outside backers that are going to be critical. And then, you know, Roquan, you can draw up a lot of defenses that work with Roquan, you know, so
no doubt.
But that's a good question. What else we got?
Let's see. He says, Levi Carter says, what do you think about another scholarship quarterback? Do we go after somebody else for depth purposes?
Well, I think this the pool right now is so diminished because so many of these guys are committed around the country. I saw where yesterday, Missouri picked up a JUCO guy that actually signed with LSU a couple years ago, and then
left. Lindsey Scott. Yeah,
but this is not the same one. But I don't know that we would do that. I feel very good about the Bennett kid. I think he's very capable, and I just don't see him going after another quarterback right now.
They did offer one a preferred walk on position to help get through.
Who is that?
I forgot his name. Saw it yesterday.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. Well, a lot of preferred walk-on offers went out yesterday. So
and for that, people need to understand, because a guy was asking me over there at Kroger the other day about it. I'm going there. He said, Coach, can you explain to me the difference between 105 and 85? And I said, well, it's about 20 miles per hour. No, but 85 is the total number of scholarships that we got. Then practice-wise, any time of the year except during the summer, you can have as many players on your team as you want walk on. So in the spring, we might have 120 players, you know, beside the – so the 85 plus 35 players. But once fall camp starts, you can only have 105 there. And so that between the 85 and the 105, you got 20 preferred players. They might be guys that are already established here, you know, that have gone through a year, and some guys will get cut in the fall or in the spring, and then you're going to bring in maybe five or six preferred walk-ons to add to that group based on the positions you need. So preferred walk-on quarterback, maybe another preferred walk-on, whatever it might be. So based on your numbers to help you. And then once fall camp stops and school starts, you can bring in anybody. We go back up to 120, 125. So preferred walk-on is just somebody that probably has an offer to a smaller school, but you tell him, hey, you're going to have a chance to make our team, get a scholarship, and we're going to give you every opportunity to compete with everybody else. As compared to a walk-on, would just start when school started, and that your chances of making a team are not at all.
You have a kid that's going to actually go through camp, you know, in the fall camp, be here in June to start lifting weights. August 1st when we have practice, you'll be out there, whereas the true walk-ons have to wait until school starts. So that's a big difference.
And the other thing you can add to, in the case of Eason and Thompson, two scholarship guys that are on our 85 that have left, that are, you know, are leaving, and Roquan, that's three of the 85. You know, you could actually bring in a guy like we did Crumpton the first day of classes in the fall and bring that guy in, and he would count on the 219 list, you know what I mean? But you can't do that now. So you can't make up those three now. You got to go forward with – you could give a guy a scholarship here for a semester to do that, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Take and, his, and it helps.
And, hey, especially, give a guy a semester. Hey, give it to him.
This one just came across the wire. Bovada releases their Heisman odds for 2018.
You look at that stuff, man.
Jake Fromm, 12-1 on his Heisman odds. Bryce Love, the odds on favorite, at 7-1.
Well, Bryce Love, that was amazing. The
I can't believe he came back.
Wouldn't they give him another computer to come back? Hey, have you ever heard that kid talk?
2-1.
Oh, he's incredible.
He's so intelligent. And
he's amazing.
And I keep bringing it because I have to say it. Come over to my practice, Dr. Love. He's going to be a doctor.
2-10-1.
Yeah, 2-10-1.
2-10-1. What's Hurts?
Hurts is not on the
– I saw where Hurts cut his hair.
Yeah, I saw that as well. Yeah, after the – said the deal
so
was –
So did Roddy.
After
the, you got a haircut, Roddy, I'm serious.
I don't have
now
a lot to cut.
Hey, I got to tell this, though. Roddy went running in the barbershop, seriously, and said, hey – can you cut my hair with my coat on? He said, hey, I can cut your hair with your hat on. And mine, too.
All right. Let's wrap it up there for this
week. And with that, we will leave.
We'll leave with that sick burn on Roddy.
I need some aloe. Anyway, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We will be back next Tuesday. We'll be getting closer and closer to signing day. We'll talk a lot more recruiting. And send in your questions. We will get to them next week.
A lot of good questions.
If we didn't get to your question today, we apologize. Save it for next week. We will definitely get to it, and we will have more updates and Coach working that straw over there.
Hey, I did want to say this, because in all seriousness, a dear Georgia Bulldog passed away this week, Claude Williams, just a tremendous man, great veteran, and his wife passed away the week before, but just a tremendous family and supporter of Georgia. Supported me in so many ways. His son-in-law, Happy Dix, was a great player for Coach Dooley. And just want to give the family and all the everybody around here, just Claude Williams, just loved Georgia and did so much for us. And just want to give him a shout-out here.
Our prayer and condolences to the Williams family and, of course, the Dix as well. Huge, huge Georgia lineage in both of those families. So you're in our thoughts and prayers, and we will see everyone next week.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.